Father, we praise you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your glorious redemptive power of the cross. We thank you that we're your children, Lord. We thank you. We invite the wonderful Holy Spirit that he might come and teach us and draw us closer to the things that you would like us to see. Open our eyes, Father. Help us. We endeavor to open our hearts to be receptive to your word. We thank you that our eyes and ears are wide open. Our gates are wide open to receive the word. We thank you, Lord God, that we can be discerning people and know the signs of the times. We thank you for the signs and wonders that you've given. We continue to pray and believe. We trust together that signs and wonders will be ours, that we can begin to shake this world and see the sick healed and many other aspects that your word contains. Thank you one more time. We give you praise for this service and the word of God that will go forth. May it go forth boldly. Give me utterance in the Spirit that I might speak boldly, that I might see, that we might see the things that you said in your word promised. We give you praise in advance for what it will do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, be seated. Thank you so much. I want to welcome everybody again. Did you bring your Bible, your phones? And we're going to continue on our study in the Scriptures. Anybody here for the first, you're here for the very first time. Anybody here for the very first time? Praise God. God bless you, sir. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? Praise God. I see that hand back there. Thank you. So I see this guy. You're here for the first time again. Glory to God. Well, isn't God wonderful? Yes. Are you born again this morning? Yes. If you're not born again, we can get you born again. It don't cost anything. All you do, it costs you a prayer. I'm, encouraged by people participating in what we offer at Faith City Church, because I believe that God has ordained us to do the work of the ministry as far as, teaching, preaching. God has called me to minister. Years ago, God called me to the work of faith. And I believe that you're called. Amen. Everybody is called here. Not one of you is not called. Everybody has a place. Everybody has a voice. And I believe that you're significant, when you join up together and get involved. As I mentioned, that we can be stronger together. So, did you guys get my mail back there? You didn't get my mail? It says I'm going to have a fresh start. This is the wrong article, huh? Well, anyway, I still have this one. See, that's why you have to have more than one of these. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I expect you to respond to me. So if you're new in this church, I expect you to respond. If you're sleeping and you have your eyes closed, blink once in a while so I can tell you you're with us. So anyway, we've been focusing, this is a brand new year. We've been focusing on things. I believe that's God ordained, God led. I believe that we're a spirit-led bunch. I believe that we need to be spirit-led. I believe God has led us together, brought you together. I believe I was led to marry my wife. I believe she was led to marry me. I believe that she was meant to say yes. I believe Robbie was meant to say yes to his wife.
Right.
Praise God. No, I guess who asked to get married first? You together, or was it he did? Okay. That's not what Robbie told me. No, are you guys celebrating how many years? 10 years?
We just celebrated
8 years. Let's give them a hand. 8 years. Praise God. And I was just watching the news the other day, watching Robbie's city, where he's from. And the Indians back there are crazy, man. I mean, there should not be. Well, there's a drug business back there. I mean, that's where you came out of, and I thank God he saved you. And, it's amazing how God can change a life.
Amen.
I think about Sterling back here, how God changed his life. Man, oh man, Sterling, how God changed your life right around. You're not the same man. You got the same hair, though. I enjoy Sterling. He comes visit me once in a while. He comes once in a while still. And we enjoy each other. But last night he was so mad Boston won. Any Boston fans, you need to leave right now. Well, Montreal did good yesterday. They're going to get a licking today. They play two in a row. Well, today is a football day. It's called tomorrow. Is it today? Today, yeah. So what day are we? Where are we? Today is Sunday, I believe it is, right? But just over here across north of here, the border, Minneapolis is somewhere there. And there's they're not playing. Minneapolis are the Vikings?
The Vikings,
yeah. So who is playing, actually? Philadelphia Eagles? Or Flyers? Which one is it? The Eagles? And Tiger Cats? New England? Patriots. Okay. So anyway, so who's going to win the game?
Patriots?
Yeah. Huh? Well, there's a... we're going to start a fight here before we start. Well, we're going to pray for you. Pray for all of you. But anyways, it's a good diversion. I mean, people have, they go gardening, and that's what they do. They just divert their attention. I take my dog for a walk, and that's a diversion. Go in the bush and, look for animals. And so it's a good diversion just to get away and do some. Like football, same way, hockey and baseball, and it's a good diversion. But sometimes not too good if it takes you away from church every day. I'm glad you're here, but I know when we were in the States, we were at the Rhema Bible Training Center. That's our home church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they used to tape services. When you have your service going on, like tonight, they'll be going to church. And Pastor Hagen, they'll be putting on their VCR. What do you call that? PVR. There's no more VCR. I'm way behind. I know I'm 61, but that's a little bit old. But anyway, they used to put that on and make sure. They said, don't tell me what the score is. But here we just stay home and watch the Leafs. No? Praise God. Well, anyway, enough of that. We'll be able to get to work here. Praise God. Well, our topic tonight, or this morning, is spiritual warfare and prayer. We're going to kind of couple those together. And the title of our message is Called to Pray. And, we want to teach on that. I believe, as I said, we start a new year. And we want to, I just sense, my spirit that God has been calling us. And so every Tuesday, I'll be here in the green room teaching on prayer. So if you're interested in that. Next week, we'll start Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and we'll be doing prayer seminars. So if you're interested in learning how to pray, we're going to be here teaching a little bit. We're going to teach, and then we're going to pray. And so I want you to show up I'm inviting you to come so that you can learn. So I believe that God is moving us so that we can all learn to pray effectively. I mean, everybody prays, but not everybody does it well or correctly. And so we want you to be correctly tuned into learning how to pray. Anybody can cry out to God and all say all kinds of stuff, but we have to come in the direction that God says to come and to pray. So many people are praying about things. They're trying to pray things like pulling down strongholds over cities, and that's unscriptural. You can't pray. You can't pull down a stronghold over a city until they have a right to be here. Evil spirits have a right to be in the city of Thunder Bay, but they don't have a right to come in the church and take over the church. But it's our right to pray for those people out there that are in the political arena and different areas. We have a right to pray for them so that the will of God can be manifest through their lives. And the only way that demons and devils have expression is through human beings. Are you here? And so there's a lot of folks that's praying about stuff and even fasting over things. They're trying to fast for 40 days, some people. And they're trying to do things, you know, I'm not sure what they're trying to do. But, you know, Jesus, ever since Jesus come, there's some different things that happen. Since Jesus come, he's done some things. Hello? Okay, shut your phone or put it low or something. Okay, anyway, thank you. You know, we need to understand something, that ever since Jesus came, this is a new covenant. And there are some things, timeline, so to speak, for us. Understand there's certain things. Say, for instance, remember when Jesus went to the temple there and he was casting his spirit, going to cast the spirit out of somebody, and the devil spoke out of that person and said, you know, are you coming to destroy us before the time? See, they have a certain time limitation. God had given Adam, lordship over everything. You can see that in the scriptures. Genesis chapter 1, and you can see this in the book of Psalms, and I believe in Psalms chapter 8. God has given man, or mankind, humans, the responsibility of being Lord over here. And, over this area. But there's a certain thing that happened. There was a transference of authority and power, and the devil took authority from through deception through Adam and Eve. Do you remember that? Do we have to go through all those scriptures? But remember, he did that. And, you know, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, the devil told Jesus, come on and worship me. Jump off this mountain and so forth. And tell, you know, do this and that. Eat this, you know. He's having, he's fasting. And he said, if you'll worship me, this is what the devil told Jesus. This is what we call the temptations. You remember that temptations? So the devil tells him in Luke chapter 4, verse 6, you can see it. He said, all this will I give you, for it was given unto me. Well, who gave it to Satan? Well, Adam gave it over, you know, that lordship over to him. You know, he's the God of this world. There's many scriptures that describe. Jesus called the devil the prince of power, the prince of this world. Paul called him, 2 Corinthians 2:2, he called Satan the power, prince of power, the air. Paul told the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 4:4, that the devil is the God of this world. But he's not God over us. But we have a different God. And he's God Almighty. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. So he's our God. And through Adam, the Bible says everyone who comes to Jesus is a child of Abraham. And we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And, we need to pray. We need to pray properly. And so we need to stick with Scripture and understand things. So the Lord has given us responsibility to teach. And so that's why we're on the air. I don't want to be on air. I never wanted to be on air. You know, it's not because we want to be famous. It's not because we think it's cool. It's not cool being on television. You be on television. And so we're across Canada. We're here, you know, this message is going to go across Canada from, all the way from Newfoundland. You know, where one of our pastors from, Steve and his gang, his little gang there. That's where they're from. They're from that area. All across to where Robbie was from over there. So we're covered. So the Lord asked us to go on television. And then we have partners and friends. How many of you are partners or friends here? Anybody, your partner once a month? If you're not a partner, we would like you to be a partner with us, because we're preaching the gospel message across the nation. And so pray for us. Pray for the program. Pray that God will open the eyes of people that they'll see. And we're praying. We're going to trust God in this church. We said we believe that, you know, God has led us. So we're teaching on prayer, and we're going to be teaching more on healing. The church has neglected healing in the city. Where are all the evangelists? What happened to all the evangelists that are supposed to travel with the healing ministry? Where are those people? What happened to all the prayer meetings of people praying for the sick and getting them well? Where is that happening? How many churches are holding services to pray for the sick? So those are my questions. What's your question about that? See, you know, we have to question that and say, so if God, Jesus told us to do that, we have to study. And so we have to do that. So that's what we're doing. We're doing two things. We're going to teach them on prayer, encourage people to pray individual and corporately, learn how to pray, the different kinds of prayer. And then we're learning how to about healing. We want to learn about the healing in the Old Covenant and in the New Covenant. We want to learn about how to receive healing if you're sick. Secondly, we want to teach people how to minister healing. What ways, what methods can we operate to get people well? How to get people well in different areas. So for those who can receive that, you know, there'll be something accomplished. Not everybody, it's not automatic, you know. Just because you come to this church doesn't mean that you're going to automatically get it. No, you have to study. You know, like even my own children, they live with a preacher. I'm a preacher. It's not automatic they're going to get it because they live with me. Are you here? So just because you come to this church don't mean you got it. So we have to study, and we have to begin to look at the Word of God, to be diligent. Don't just wait till Sunday to open your Bible. Okay, so this is an exhortation. So, okay, let's go to our Bibles. I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. And Kendra, you got everything? Are you all fine back there? Okay. So, 1 Timothy chapter 1, a call to prayer is our title. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If anybody is cold, make sure you put extra clothes on. Because we tighten up on the heating because of it interferes with the television. Praise God. Right now, anyway. All right. So we have 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Also take out Ephesians 6, 18, and also add verse 19. A call to prayer. Paul speaking to Timothy, who is a pastor, who is the head of a church fellowship. And he's saying to Timothy, I exhort therefore that first of all, everybody say first of all. He says supplications. Supplications are heartfelt, fervent prayers. This is not casual praying. This is not Lord bless him. If he's sick, bless him, Lord. Or just bless our city. This is heartfelt prayer. This is prayer of very importance and very, strong prayer. I exhort that supplications, prayers, you know, when you're praying for people, you're going to have to learn the different kinds of prayers. Because first of all, if you are going to have responsibility for praying for such large things, and if your life is not in order, you need to learn how to pray some other things, like the prayer of repentance. The prayer of casting your cares on God. If you're worried all day, and if you're worried about your family, you go to prayer, that's going to hinder your praying. So that's why he's saying there are supplications, prayers, intercessions. Intercession is one kind of prayer. It's praying for people who cannot pray for themselves. One is because they invoked punishment on themselves because of their wrong living. Maybe they're a backslider. Maybe they're not a Christian. Intercession is when you pray for other people. And a giving of thanks. Everything about giving of thanks for your nation. Praying and thanking God for the city of Thunder Bay, and say, Father, I want to thank you for our great city. I want to praise you because it's a wonderful place. I want to thank you for our leadership. I want to thank, and begin to thank God for those things. A God-given authority. So be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. I want you to notice, first of all, that he said we have to pray for, number one, kings, and number two, for all those in authority. So kings are representation of anyone in the political arena, anybody who's been elected to office, anybody who is head of state, or say, for instance, our prime minister, our ministers across, in elected office, and also our mayor and so forth. And then all those in authority, anyone who has any kind of authority running organizations, anybody running different things in our city, like the police chief and all the officers and all the universities and colleges and principals and everyone that's in authority, we need to pray that for those people. Pray for the wisdom of God and the protection of God upon their lives. I want you to notice Ephesians 6:18. Paul is talking to, first of all, in Timothy, he's talking to a pastor over our church, and he's telling not only that pastor, but all those people in that church. But in Ephesians 6:18, Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, and he's talking to the people there about prayer as well. Notice Ephesians 6:18, I'm reading the New King James Version. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. If you just stop there for a moment and think about what he said. Praying always. Praying always, meaning that, you know, we need to be ready to pray at any given moment, no matter if you're walking through the mall and God asks you to pray for something and get ready to pray, and he wants you to pray, pray now. Praying always. With all prayer. Notice it says all prayer. And we want to stop here to make mention of this very quickly, in that Paul, by the Holy Spirit, saying all prayer, meaning the Amplified says, with all kinds of prayer. Meaning that, you know, we're not going to just pray, offer one prayer. We're going to pray with different kinds of prayer. We got to learn different kinds of prayers and how they work. You know, let's take, for instance, you know, people pray, and sometimes in some circles, in Christian circles, they just add this one little phrase whenever they pray. If it be thy will. Say you're praying for, if you ask for somebody to pray for you, and they're praying for you, if you're ill or something, they say, Father, heal him if it be thy will. Well, that's not a prayer of faith. You better know it's the will of God first before you pray for somebody. The only prayer you would offer to say that statement or make that statement is only when you are called to do, or you sense a leading of the Lord, or something you felt you want to do something for God, you don't know if you should do it or not, that's when you should offer that prayer to God. If it's your will, if it be thy will, I want to go a direction, lead me, direct me. Or Lord God, you know, not my will. And when you're submitting your life to God, you say that prayer, Father, I submit my life to you. Lord God, may your will be done in my life. Because sometimes you don't know exactly what he wants you to do all the time. Okay, so that's where you would offer that prayer. So we need to pray in faith and know how to pray for different things. So we'll talk about that next week as well. So notice the phrase, with all prayer, notice the last phrase, and supplication in the Spirit. Supplicating in the Spirit. Why does he say supplicating with your mind or your emotions or with your head? Well, there's a distinction. Man is made out of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14:14, we pray with our head, and we also pray with our heart. Supplication in the Spirit, that phrase is actually defined for us in Scripture. The Bible says he that's speaking an unknown tongue, you know, it says that he speaks unto men, not unto God. And then he goes on different scriptures that tells us about when you supplicate, you're praying in tongues. The only way to supplicate in the Spirit is to pray in the Spirit, in tongues. Bible says, if I pray in tongues, it says in there, my spirit prays. And my understanding is unfruitful. In other words, when you're praying in tongues, you don't know what you're saying. You're talking to God according to the Scripture. Now, we're going to teach on that stuff, so you need to understand this, because a lot of people don't know how to pray for their future. They don't know how to pray for different things. They run out of words, and they don't know what to do anymore. They're limited. Romans 8 says that we're limited because we don't know how to pray for different things. So that's when you have to depend on the Holy Spirit. By faith, believing in He, the Holy Spirit, will help you pray, as Jesus asked us that He would come and help us pray. One of the words for Holy Spirit's, He's helper, but it's also intercessor. Romans 8 says that Holy Spirit is His intercedes for us for things that we don't know how to pray about. Romans 8, 26, 27, 28. For the purposes of God. So we have to have faith that He will bring the perfect will of God when we pray in tongues over a certain area. You have to trust Him. That's what the Bible says. Trust the Lord with all your heart, not your head. Trust the Lord with your heart, not your head. Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your understanding. That's your head. That's your mentality. That's your intellect. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Not your girlfriend. Not your money. People are led by money. They're led by jobs. They're led by people. They're led by girlfriends, boyfriends, you know. I ain't going to Faith City Church. There's no girls there. Well, when did a girl, lead you last time? What happened last time? Well, one of them, my wife, led me to church. I've never fought my wife to ever go to church. I never fought with her, say, come on, let's go to church, honey. Never fought with her, ever one time. In fact, I have to fight her off. When you get the right woman, you don't fight about things like that. You mesh up together. I've never asked her, Lord, honey, you better pray. She prays. I never asked her, let's give some money. No, she gives money. So it's better to marry somebody that has the same values in terms of spirituality. So that's why, where's Max? We're going to meet together next week. Amen. And somebody else in here, praise God. I'm not going to mention anything right now. Some of you ought to come to my office next week. I'll fix you up. Amen. And those of you who don't have a wife, well, make sure you have one. You might not like my choices, but all right. So anyway, I read you my topic. I told you about my topic. I told you about my title. I didn't even get to my introduction yet, but let me tell you about my proposition. So we don't always follow my format, right? I do have a format. So let me tell you what the whole message was supposed to be this morning. First of all, I want to say, here's what our message is. Our prayers and faith will move the hand of God. And our prayers of faith will bind up the enemy or stop the enemy. So our prayer will move the hand of God. And our prayer will stop the enemy from operating against us. Now, Matthew 21:21, Amplified Bible says this. Amplified. Whatever you ask in prayer, notice he put a word in here, believing, you will receive. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. He didn't say whatever anybody prays, you'll receive. No, there's believing involved. Whatever you ask in prayer, believing. Everybody say, whatever I ask in prayer, believing. Believing. Say, believing. Believing. Say, believing, believing, I'll receive. Say, that means the moment you're standing there praying, you have to say, I got it. When you don't have it. Naturally, when you don't feel like you have it, when you don't think you have it, it's not about what you think, it's what the Bible says. Your heart is not your head. Your feelings are not your heart. Your feelings belong to your emotions. Your thoughts belong to your soul. Your feelings belong to your soul, I'm trying to say. So when people pray, it's not about what you thought about it and what you think about it. It's about what did the Bible say. You have to ask yourself when we're praying, what does the Bible say? What's the rule here? In other words, what is the spiritual law here? So that's what you have to ask yourself. Sometimes people ask me to do things and pray about things that, you don't have to pray for anything the Bible says that belongs to you. You don't have to pray about anything the Bible says that you must do. You don't ask me to pray. Pastor, please pray for me that I will pray. No, I don't have to pray for that. You just pray. You say, Pastor, please pray for me that I will obey. No, you just obey. Just obey what the Word of God said. We don't have to pray about it. Pray that I will tithe. No, if you know the Word about tithing, you tithe. Okay? Now, you might study on it and figure if it's for you or not. Okay? Some people in some areas, they don't believe in it. So here at this church, we do. We really do. We really do. If it wasn't for tithers, you would be sitting in that chair right now. I'll give it, guarantee you that. I look at all the finances, and I look at how many people that give it. Big giving is that small, and tithing is over here. The givers that say they give, I'm led by the Lord. They're led by the Lord about this time. But those people who tithe, and just trust God, they tithe this much, and also they give this much. They tithe this much, but they give this much. Some people tithe this much, and they give this much. They give just as much tithe as they give offerings. And if it wasn't for the tithers that obey God, we wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be sitting in your church. You can just thank God for tithers. You can thank God that I'm here preaching to you, because if it wasn't for tithers, I wouldn't be here. Hello? That's how powerful it is. That's how powerful it is. I don't tell you, hey, if you don't tithe, God's going to get you. No, he's not going to get you. The devil will get you. I'm telling you, God's not going to do anything. He already put his word into effect. Amen. I mean, there's times that I tithe that I had to do without. Yeah, there's sometimes you have to tithe and sometimes you didn't. I've given away stuff and I did without because I gave. That's sacrificial giving. There's many times that happened to me. In fact, most of my life in this ministry, we gave so much that we never had very much. I'm serious. And so that's because the Bible says you suffer to obey at times. Jesus suffered to obey his Father. Hebrews 8:5 says, or somewhere on there, it says that he suffered to obey. Sometimes we when we obey, we suffer some things. Amen. And sometimes when you pray, you suffer. When you come and pray for people here, we pray. When you pray for people, you suffer. You suffer not watching the Boston Bruins that night. You suffer having extra, you don't have that much time. So you do suffer when you obey God. If you think you don't suffer for obeying God, you got lots of trouble coming to you. Okay, it's an introduction now. Okay, it's 7:57, if you want to know what time it is. I can see it back there. Okay, so in time, we are in times of great distress and great conflict right now. Can you give me 7 minutes? Can you give me 8 minutes? So God has called us, the church, to pray. What goes on in the natural world, right here in our city, and in your life as well, has been greatly influenced by the heavenlies or the spiritual world. In other words, there are demonic forces that are planning different things strategically. The scripture describes that they plan different things that affect your life right now. It affects our life, our quality of life right here in this city. And even in your family. Many people are sitting back watching blindly while dark forces attack their values and their standards of their living or their family. And they feel helpless because they feel they don't have they can't do anything. So we are adversely affected in so many ways, but the Bible says that we can do something about this situation. So nothing will change in your life, in our city, in our nation, unless we do our part in spiritual prayer. And let's stop blaming God for what's going on and taking our responsibility as He's given and written and revealed to us in His Word. Let us learn valuable knowledge and skillful prayer according to Scripture, and how to break evil forces that are affecting your life, our lives, and bring on the good that God wants for our lives. And so we can do that. We can do that. So, Ephesians 6:18, notice 6:18 says this: "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." He's talking about, this is the conflict that you and I have to, here's what we have to deal with every day. These things that we have to deal with every day. And if you don't take your part and know your place, you can be taken up. This is a war, a spiritual warfare, and he's not playing any games. He wants to, he'll come and attack you. He'll attack you in your thought life particularly. This is where it all starts, in your thought life. If you don't renew your mind in Scripture, he can take you out. He'll tell you, you can't never make it. There's no place in the world. You'll never get out of drug addiction. You'll always be a drug addiction all your life. Everyone in your family is a drug addicted. That's what he told me. You could never come out of the reserve. You could never do anything for your life. You'll be in poverty all your life. You could never do anything. You're a loser. And when you feel like one, and someone comes and tells you that, enforces that on you, then you feel helpless. But we don't walk by what we feel. We don't walk by what we see. We walk by the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? That's what we walk by. We walk by the Word of God. It's not what you say. It's not what he said. It's what did the Bible say about it. You know, when the children of Israel came over to Canaan, Barnea, and the Lord told them to take the land, I've given you the land. And the 12 spies, I believe, went out there and searched out the land. They came back, and they had, the Bible says that the 10 of the 12 had an evil report of unbelief. So they couldn't, they had a hard time believing, because what they saw, they were believing in not what God said about them, but they were believing what they saw. They saw the giants. They saw the walls of the great cities. They said, "We can't do that." And that's the same way you're doing right now. He said, I can't do this. I can't do this. Look at me. Look at my inability. Look at what I don't have. Look at what they have. I can't make it. But as God is not asking you to do it on your own. He's not asking you to do this on your own. He's telling you, if you just obey me, I'm going to be there for you. You're going to make this on my watch. Listen, with spiritual warfare, God's already defeated the enemy for you. Every devil that he speaks about in this verse of Scripture that we gave you, those enemies are already defeated for you. Jesus put every one of these powers under his feet. And you and I are the occupation army. We're coming in to clean up. Jesus already cleaned them. The Bible says in Colossians 2:14-15 that the devil is, Jesus already triumphed over these spiritual powers. These ones that he mentioned over here. And sometimes people, when they read the Scripture, they get all shaky and scared because, oh, we have to fight against these people or these spiritual, Is he under my bed? We're talking about Slender Man on Friday night. Boogeyman. The only boogeyman I know was on Friday night, he would be dancing. doing the boogie shuffle. We'll back in the day. I want you to notice something over here. I want you to notice something. Okay, so we're in conflict. And some of you have been in a lot of trouble because you didn't know that the enemy was, attacking you and your family and through your ancestry and so forth and so on. And that you, through hereditary something, your spiritual forces have been in there all the time. But since Jesus come, praise God, everybody say, since Jesus came. The Bible says since Jesus came, he broke every curse of the law, every curse that's in your family. That when you start to believe that every curse is broken, poverty's been broken. See, poverty's been broken in my life. I'm not poor no more, somebody said. I'm not poor anymore. I'm rich, praise God. The Bible says I'm rich. You're rich. You just don't know it. Praise God, amen? Now, watch this. 1 Peter 5:8. Go to 1 Peter 5:8. And I want you to go to verse 7. I want you to notice. I wanted to focus on verse 8, but I'm going to read three scriptures out of 1 Peter 5:8. Let's read verse 7. But we want to focus on verse 8. I'll read verse 9 as well. Then if I got time, we'll read some more. We have to finish here in just about a couple of minutes. We got to beat the other churches at a chip house. Chicken house, and amen. The Baptists, they close just about 15 minutes before we do. Pentecostals are probably already sitting there. Hallelujah. That's where they have their prayer meeting, first of all. Don't get mad at me, I'm just kidding. Okay. 1 Peter 5:7, are you there? We're going to close after this because it is actually cold in here. It's really freezing in here. We're trying to cut down the heat so that we don't have a big bill this month. Because when I'm preaching over here, people are like this. So that's why we turn it down and no more of this stuff, eh? You're going. There's a big difference, eh? I'm even shivering right now. I'm standing up. I thought it was the anointing, but I know it's cold in here. I said, man, the anointing is strong here. I'm shaking away. I'm cold. Okay, 1 Peter 5:7. We're going to close after these verses of Scripture. Casting all your cares. How many cares?
All.
Are you sure about that? And so people say, well, I can't cast all those cares. No, you can. Bible says you can. Whatever he says you can do, you can do. Casting all your cares. Do you care about your children?
Yeah.
So you cast that on the Lord. And when the Lord says something about it, you say, no, I cast it on the Lord. The Lord has it. If I take it, then I have it. If I'm thinking about it and fretting about it, then I got it. He doesn't have it. Whatever it is, money, if you got money problems, Lord, I'm casting the care upon you, and I trust God, I sowed seed. You know, listen about it. If you don't sow any seed, how could you believe that you're going to get something back? And you're just believing on the mercy of God. There's more to believe God for. Sow at least a dime. Like, sow some. Don't come to church and say, I don't have any money. Sure, you got money. You had money when you had bought cigarettes. Okay, we'll go right on right away. Okay, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 8, be sober. Where's that Pastor Steve? Got Dave. Be sober, be vigilant, because one of your best friends, no, your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He may devour. The devil, he's on the prowl, not by himself, but his forces, as we read over here, his forces. He's walking around, he's checking out on who is not ready, doesn't have their spiritual armor on, who doesn't, not walking by faith, he's ready to attack you. If he's not going to attack you, you better pray, be praying for your family, because he's going to make sure he's going to try to attack your family. Pray for them, cover them with the blood. in the name of Jesus. Pastor Ken used to say, we traveled down the Highway 11. He said, I put blood all over the highway when I go. Every moose that's on the way, every raccoon, I mean, that, you know, whatever rabbit, we've got to cover him on the blood. Amen. We never had an accident, thank God. I had lots of tickets, though. We should have put the blood on the police officers. Amen. Okay, notice that verse 9. I want you to notice verse 9 because we're in a spiritual conflict. Okay, it says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist him steadfast in faith. In other words, by faith, how are we going to resist him? We're going to have to resist him in faith in the scripture by praying for different areas. That's one way. Other ways, just stand your ground. You know, resisting means there's pressure, right? And you know, there's pressure when you're trying to move up in an area where the devil don't want you to go. See, I'm going to tell you something. There's some of you are making headway in areas where you've never been before. And it's really been tough lately. But it's because the enemy has that area and you're pushing in a new area in your life that you've never been there before. And then you're going to occupy that area because Jesus already gave you that victory. But it's for you, by faith, have to go and take it. You ever notice the Israelites it didn't happen to them. Oh, we have the land. All the giants are leaving. No, the giants were there waiting for them. They're waiting for them. The giants said, okay. God gave you the land. I'm leaving. No, they say, listen, you come here, I'll cut your head off. And that's what they said. But we have to fight. So we're going to talk about that. Whenever we get out of the first part of my message, we're going to get there. You understand we're in a spiritual battle. Okay, we're gonna take a communion together before we go. Ushers, let's go quickly here, and we're going to receive our communion together, and we're going to dismiss you. If you have little children, you're going to be coming any moment. And thank God that we want to remember you. I want to read a scripture as we take this communion together. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As we take this, the Lord's table together, thank you very much. Thank you, Jesus.